Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend edition, the second one of the year. And I have to say, 2023 is starting off on a little more of a positive note for almost every asset class, maybe outside of energy, that energy just went screaming higher in the beginning half of last year, but potentially a different environment that we are seeing this year. Let's also not all get too excited about any sector because, well, again, everything's been bouncing, and boy, oh boy, do we still hear a lot about a potential recession coming this year. And on top of that, economic data still is not exactly booming, stuck in, at best, maybe a slow growth environment. Again, that's at best. We are kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, since it's early on in the year, I think it is important to take a step back and look at how investors, whether it's retail, whether it's insiders, whether it's big institutions, how they are positioning themselves early on in the year. Take us through, Jesse, what you look at, different sectors, different data points to get a handle on how investors are positioning themselves broadly, please.
Well, pretty much, I think you can divide things into the quote unquote smart money and the quote unquote dumb money. And, you know, these are terms Wall Street throws around. Smart money is usually right at major turning points, buying, you know, when it's time to buy and selling when it's time to sell. And conversely, the dumb money is doing the exact wrong thing at the wrong time. So, you know, selling at the lows and buying at the highs. And so, you know, there's a variety of ways I think you can look at flows and positioning to kind of see these things. And just in like the Commitment of Traders report, you'd look at like commercial traders, you know, as an example of the smart money, and speculators as an example, and especially small speculators in futures markets as the quote unquote dumb money. And, you know, conversely, we can look at things like ETF flows and which stocks are popular in the market with retail investors would call it, kind of fall into that category of dumb money that usually does the wrong thing at the wrong time and is a good contrarian signal. And then on the flip side of that, I look very closely at what corporate insiders are doing on a micro level in individual stocks and on a macro level, because that's usually the smart money. When you see a CFO come in and buy a bunch of stock in the open market, he's usually not doing that because he's bearish on the shares, right? He knows how well his company is doing or not doing, and how the stock price either reflects that or doesn't. And so we can use that kind of in aggregate and also, like I said, on a micro level to see how does the smart money positioning relative to stock market, and how does that compare to what retail investors are doing? And I think together, you put all this stuff together and you can get some important signals as to where prices are likely headed.
Well, Jesse, just on that theme, you put out an article recently that said corporate insiders embark on a buyer's strike, talking about just that topic, about how there really isn't a lot of the quote-unquote smart money buying into these general equities. Is this a situation where people haven't really learned their lesson about how the duration of this bear market is going to play out, and it does reek a little bit of what things were like initially when things started correcting in the dot-com bubble and people thought, hey, things are at a really good price here. Let's pile back in. Is that how you're reading it?
Yeah, I really think, you know, retail money reflects the classic five stages of grief. You know, this is probably a good way to think about a bear market is as soon as, you know, stocks enter a bear market, investors go into denial. They think it's another chance to buy the dip. And it takes time for prices to you know, I guess push investor sentiment through that process from denial to anger to bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. And acceptance is where you get to the bottom of a bear market where the average investor has said, okay, things are terrible. They're never going to get better ever again, so I need to sell everything. And that's kind of what the bottom of a bear market looks like, is that acceptance of things are terrible. And we're nowhere near to that phase right now, right? I mean, I you look at things like Tesla, for example, right? And this Tesla, I think, is a wonderful example of the smart money versus the dumb money. Over the past 12 months, Elon Musk has sold $40 billion worth of stock, right? He knows better than most what Tesla's future looks like over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, and how the stock price either reflects that or doesn't. Insider selling you cannot always look at as, you know, being directly bearish. Insiders sell for a number of reasons. But when a founder, to me, goes and sells the majority of their shares, it's hard to look past that. And it's hard to not infer some type of a bearish message, especially because what we're seeing with Tesla is more and more bad news, right? I mean, they cut prices in China as sales are disappointing. They reported sales that are disappointing. Now they're cutting prices in the U.S. So they're clearly producing more vehicles than they can sell. And there's a supply-demand problem. And this is a company that's already unprofitable. And now they're going to sell cars for even less. So they're going to be facing even steeper losses when investors are expecting the company to, you know, grow sales 50% year over year and generate, you know, tons of profits. At the same time, last week, we saw retail investors pour on Tuesday. This is according to Gunjan Banerjee at the Wall Street Journal. $315 million in one day net inflow into Tesla. The day after on Wednesday, $300 million net inflow into Tesla. Retail flows. Record retail flows for Tesla. And Tesla's been the most popular stock among retail investors over the past year. So you have the dumb money, quote unquote, that is extremely bullish on, this, which is probably the most, I think, meme stock of all meme stocks. At the same time as insiders are telling you it is not time to be bearish. That message that's a microcosm of what we're seeing on a broader level too, where investors continue to pour record sums into the equity market. 2021, 2022 was almost as big as the year before. Meanwhile, insiders selling was off the charts in 21, continued in 22, and they're still not buying, which to me is different. In 2022, at the bottom, COVID bottom, insiders stepped in to buy heavily. They did at almost every other time was a good time to buy the dip over the past decade. Insiders stepped in to buy heavily. The fact that they're not doing so now is a warning sign.
So, Jesse, it is interesting to see this month, at least early on, halfway through this month, let's say, that tech is actually leading the way out of the U.S. equity markets. Tech, NASDAQ specifically, is up over 5% just in the first couple weeks. How long can this last? How long can so-called dumb money carry these markets higher when you do take into account it seems like everything's moving higher?
Yeah. Well, it's dumb money and it's also short covering. So both of those things combine to create powerful rallies. But you got to remember, the most powerful rallies happen when? In bear markets. And the reason they happen in bear markets is because the smart money is heavily short. They get squeezed. You know, we have an inflation number that comes out that is, you know, shows that inflation's coming down. It was not an inflation surprise to the upside. It came essentially in line with what markets are pricing in. And so that means the Fed ostensibly doesn't need to get even more hawkish than they are, which inspires short covering, which makes retail investors think that they're on the right track. But, you know, this is classic bear market activity in my view.
All right. Well, I think that sums it up very nicely there, Jesse. We're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we are having you back on next segment. We'll get into a few other market sectors and moves. Again, with everything seeming to move up to start the year. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Jesse Feldman.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We're continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, let's switch over to the precious metals. We always touch on the precious metals when we talk with you. And look, the outlook for precious metals, just like other markets, but even more so, is a bit more positive. Precious metals have moved up very strongly, both gold and silver. Gold pushing over 1900, silver in the $24 region. how are you balancing out, again, the smart money versus dumb money that's moved into the precious metals?
Yeah, well, I know we talked about this in real time, you know, over the past few months, but back in, you know, October, November, when precious metals were testing their lows and breaking down to new lows, gold, you know, beneath 1700, down almost to 1600, managed money position in the commitment to trader support, which is, you know, the dumb money, got net short gold prices right at the wrong time, which is classic, right? I mean, almost time, every time, my friend Fred Hickey has been pointing this out for years. Managed money is a wonderful contrarian indicator. At the same time, you saw commercial traders in gold dramatically reduce their net short position. In silver, they actually went net long, which is a really rare buy signal of the smart money getting very, very bullish. I mean, commercials are essentially producers and things, right? And so they are naturally short as they're just hedging their future production. So when they are not selling out that future production, selling forward that future production, it's a sign that they're very, you know, bullish on metals over the short run. And so when we did see commercials in gold reduce their short positions dramatically and in silver getting that long, it was a very strong bullish signal from the smartest of the smart money. Now, the thing to pay attention to now is kind of the same thing I'm paying attention to in equity markets, right? While retail investors continue to pour money into equities, they haven't given up yet. They have not even begun to take an interest in the gold price. I mean, gold is up $300 in the last, since, you know, early November, in just a couple of months' time. And still retail hasn't started putting money into ETFs. So these ETF flows, I think, are an important signal that I've paid close attention to. And until we see retail money really pour in, you know, there's no sign of excess optimism in precious metals. So it tells me that, you know, the gold price can really has some potential for strength during this kind of seasonally bullish period we're in right now, as retail investors start recognizing, oh wow, I need to own some precious metals here. And their flows into ETFs are usually a very good, driver of, you know, intermediate term trends. And so, just like we saw from the 2018 to 2020 period, inflows into ETFs really powered that strong move higher. I think we could be on the brink of another such episode.
Jesse, what do you think's moving the underlying gold stocks then? Because you look at GDX, GDXJ, off of those lows 3+ months ago, those are up 50%. So is that retail money coming in? Still understanding it's on low volume, but could that be where the retail money is filtering to?
You know, I haven't seen any evidence of it, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. I mean, absolutely, it could be, you know, retail messages buying the miners. But traditionally, what we've, you know, the best measure of retail activity has been the ETFs of, you know, just gold ETFs, precious metals ETFs. And the fact that we're not seeing it there tells me that, you know, these mining stocks, you know, I probably still have, you know, if retail's going to come into the space and push the you know, the metals higher, metals prices higher, they're probably going to push the mining stocks much higher too. I mean, these a lot of these miners got so incredibly cheap that this is probably just a reflection of, you know, what the metal's done is that, gold's not going to go back to 1,000 an ounce, which is what a lot of these stocks look like they are pricing in, is, you know, gold going back to 1,100, 1,200. The fact that that's not happening means, oh, okay, we need to reprice these things for even just, you know, a sustainable 1,800 to 2,000, you know, gold price. Now, if the gold price does what I think it's going to do, which is, you know, going to break out to new highs sometime over the next, you know, this year and next, then the mining stocks have tons of upside.
Well, Jesse, in addition to looking at where the buyers are coming from the smart money and dumb money, I think it should also be noted that about 80% of trading is now machine trading, algo trading. And so there's not even people, there's not carbon-based life forms doing this, and they're keyed very much off of interest rates and currencies. And if you look at last year, it was really a story of rising interest rates, and the dollar went on a huge move higher. Well, that's all rolled over the last quarter of last year, which was responsible for a lot of how this trading played out in the fourth quarter, and it's continued into this year. How do you see interest rates and the dollar setting up for 2023? Because that's such a huge factor in how these algos are keyed.
Yeah. Well, you know, to come bring it back to positioning in the futures markets, there's a huge net short position in the bond market across the curve. Traders are essentially betting, you know, they're all in on the, you know, rising interest rates trade. They, you know, think 10-year, 5-year, everything's going much higher. Now, that type of crowded positioning among speculators, when you get, you know, that type of extreme crowding, to me, it's a point that it points to a potential for reversal, right? And it's astounding to me that we've already seen the 10-year, you know, treasury yield, you know, come down from almost from 430 to almost 330. We're down almost 100 basis points on the 10-year, and still they're massively short. So I think there's room for rates to come down in the short term, that if we are heading into recession, you know, things like the copper to gold ratio point to a 2.5% as, you know, roughly fair value on the 10-year right now. So if you get some short covering in the bond market, and that would come in reaction to more signs of a slowing economy, then you could get a real shift in positioning there that could drive a strong rally in bonds. Now, that would be also obviously, you know, bullish for precious metals, right? Because at 350 on the 10-year, and we just got a CPI report yesterday of, you know, 650, you know, your negative real yield of 300 basis points. So negative real interest rates are typically very bullish for precious metals. They haven't been because the Fed has been tightening at the short end over the past, you know, year or so. That was the headwind for precious metals. Now that that's abating and the Fed is going to reduce its pace to 25 basis points next month and maybe raise another 25, that headwind to precious metals is going away. And the timing of this is interesting to me, too. It's almost exactly the same as we saw in 2018, where precious metals bottomed about, you know, 3 to 6 months before the Fed ended its rate hike campaign. So, you know, a lot of these things, you know, bond market, Fed policy, and extreme positioning in bonds are also potentially bullish catalysts for precious metals over the next couple of quarters.
All right, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but everybody listening on the radio, we do continue to chat with Jesse for a good another 5 to 10 minutes, focused a bit more on the big picture outlook for markets. To listen to that full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com, or podcast, The KE Report. That's where you'll find the whole interview.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Don't forget to register for the Affordable Care Act if that was your plan. Enrollment ends tomorrow.
Open enrollment for health care plans under the Affordable Care Act ends Sunday. The program, commonly known as Obamacare, has seen record signups this year. The Department of Health and Human Services said almost 16 million Americans have enrolled since November 1st. It should be noted some of the state-based marketplace plans will remain open until late January, in fact, January 31st, including California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, as well as Washington, D.C. I'm Lance Pry.
One winning ticket sold in the Mega Millions lottery. That ticket sold in Maine worth approximately $1.35 billion. Recovery and search efforts continuing in Georgia and Alabama a day after severe storms and tornadoes ravaged the region, killing at least 9 people. Corey Myers, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In the next segment, we are going to continue to focus almost exclusively on the precious metals sector, maybe even get into some commodities as we are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at DCPM Group. Now, Jeff, just as a broad question to start us off here, precious metals are starting off this year quite well. Gold blew through 1900. Silver's up in the $24 region. What are you seeing as the key drivers here that are continuing to push the precious metals higher?
Yeah, I think there are three big sets of factors that you have to pay attention to. There are certain cyclical factors, which I'll get back to, and secular ones, and then there's some seasonal ones. Precious metals prices tend to be strong in the first quarter. You have them coming out of the holiday season, but you also have the Lunar New Year. And the Lunar New Year this year is on January 22nd. So there's a lot of gold and silver being bought right now by wholesalers, manufacturers, and retailers of gold and silver investment products and jewelry throughout Southeast Asia and, well, throughout Asia. So the Lunar New Year demand is a big issue. And a lot of these companies exist in places where you can't, like, forward buy or hedge your metal effectively. So the manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers actually are buying precious metals. And that's one of the factors. You also tend to see kind of strong jewelry demand, both in advance of Valentine's Day, gold and silver demand by jewelers for manufacturing jewelry for sales on Valentine's Day. And actually, there's a lot of demand for jewelry in January, which is self-purchasing by people who didn't get the jewelry they wanted for Christmas. Strangely enough, it's a big area. So you have fabrication demand tends to be strong, investment demand tends to be strong, and you have this seasonal strength in prices. But then you go back and you say, because seasonal gets overruled by secular and cyclical factors, what's really happening? You know, you've had this debacle in the United States Congress. You have ongoing dysfunction throughout the U.S. government. You have these massive deficits and massive problems that haven't been being dealt with. You have the Brazilian government problems, Peruvian government problems. You have issues throughout Europe and the U.K. You have issues within the Chinese government and political structure and social structure. And you have the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine and increasing divisions within Russian political and economic circles. So you have a lot of events that are going on right now that are causing investors to say, hey, maybe I should have more of my money in gold and silver. And then you have the simple fact that if you look at the prices of assets year over year, T-bills were up last year. They were the top performing asset class. Silver was the second top performer. Silver prices were 3% higher at the end of 2022 than they were at the end of 2021. Gold was off 0.1%. The next highest performing asset class was off 11%. And everything else, stocks and bonds and real estate, was off 11% to 22%. So there are any number of investors and institutional investment managers and managers of institutional investment management companies saying, hey, gold and silver did their job last year. They were portfolio diversifiers who helped preserve the value of a portfolio if you had gold and silver in them. Let's look at what we're looking at for 2023 and say to ourselves, we should have more gold and silver in our portfolio because they worked well as portfolio diversifiers last year, and we're probably going to need them in our portfolio again this year. So I think you have a whole bunch of cyclical, secular events and seasonal factors that are pushing gold and silver prices up right now.
Well, Jeff, I think that's a solid point about how well the precious metals did, all things considered, in the year of 22 compared to other asset classes. And you've made the point on the show a number of times, Jeff, that, you know, the physical demand side of it and the manufacturing and the fabrication is more of a known entity, but really it's the investment demand around the peripheral that can move the prices more. And so when we look back at 2022 and look forward at 2023, I guess the question is, why are people buying gold and silver as a portfolio diversifier? Was it for inflation? Is it for geopolitical risk? Is it for financial uncertainty with what the central banks are trying to escalate, which is a soft landing versus a recession? Why is investment demand getting into gold and silver, and why has it been? Because it didn't really work as well as people thought as an inflation hedge, and geopolitical events are usually passing. So what do you think the main drivers are, have been, and what will they be moving into next year?
I think how high interest rates go, whether they throw the world in, or the U.S. or the industrialized world into a recession, and inflation, I think those are major factors. Currency market has been a factor, and it's interesting because, you know, until November, you had a very strong U.S. dollar. Yeah, the U.S. dollar rose strongly, really, from the middle of 2021 into November of this of 2022. And throughout that period of time, you had, especially in the gold market, any number of naysayers who were saying, no, the dollar shouldn't be appreciating as strongly as it is. It should be collapsing. And it didn't collapse. You know, it has fallen sharply since November, and it's back down to the levels that we saw, you know, back in August of last year. So it's still very high compared to where it was throughout 2021 and the first half of 2022. But you had a lot of people who, you know, 75-80% of world private wealth is in dollar-denominated assets. And these people were saying, hey, the dollar's too strong. The dollar shouldn't be this strong. The dollar should be falling. So you had people cycling out of dollar-denominated assets, and some of that money was being parked in gold and silver last year simply because the dollar was so high. You'll see this sometimes where, you know, people say it doesn't make sense. You know, you would think that the gold price would fall as stock prices rise, but I'm actually seeing investment demand for gold rise in line with the stock market rising. And that actually makes sense because as the stock market rises, if you're a stock market investor, you're saying to yourself, okay, I've got increased profits in stocks. How much higher is it going to go? Should I be cycling some of my money out of stocks and putting it into other assets like gold and silver, waiting for the stock market to come back down? So, you know, I think you were seeing that in the currency market last year, too.
So, Jeff, this always brings up a question. And because we talk so much and focus so much on the precious metals, we're always hearing about the potential of this being a generational shift. Something big is happening, whether it's in the currency markets, whether it's with individual countries, or even diving down into investors if they're going through a significant generational shift in how they manage their portfolios. Have you seen any of that just in this last year?
I'm not sure if it's generational, but, you know, I have this nasty habit of naming years, and I've named 2023 the year of transition. And I do think that there are some major changes going on really throughout society. You know, it starts with social trends, but also political trends, economic and financial and investment trends. And I do think that you're seeing around the world a lot of people sort of taking stock in who they are, where they are in their lives, and where they want to be. And you know, we've seen this in employment trends. We've seen it in consumption trends. We've seen it in real estate. And I think that you're also seeing that in precious metals and other investments where people are sort of saying, you know, what changes do I want to make in the way I live for the rest, you know, at this point in my life? And I think that this is a particularly poignant moment where people are reevaluating what they've done so far and what they want to do going forward.
Hey, you bring up some good points, Jeff. We're going to follow up with you as this year progresses, and hopefully it does turn out to be at least a more productive year for precious metals, and it does bring in some more investors. Jeff, thank you as always for your time.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to take a bit of a more macro view on the markets and also incorporate a lot of the data, some of the central bank expectations coming up throughout the rest of this month and early on into next month, as we are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market blog. Mark, when we were talking off mic, you came on the call and you simply said, what a week. Let's recap this week, because we had CPI data come out, and we've also just quite frankly had a fair bit of optimism come into financial markets almost across the board. We've had commodities running higher. We've had markets running higher with the tech sector leading it. We've also had Bitcoin closing in on $20,000. Clearly, investors, I guess, either got bored and just wanted to put some money to work, or they figured, let's try to push these markets higher to start off the year. And again, this week we did have CPI data that has come down a little bit, making it seems like everybody expect a 25 basis point hike from the Fed. Mark, in terms of your key recap from this week, what are some keys to take away?
I'd say three big keys. One is that you're right about the CPI. I think that was an important part of market psychology. They were leaning in that direction, so the data wasn't so surprising. But here's what it looks like. What we want to do is not just look at the year-over-year rate, but look at what's been happening, say, at a three-month annualized. Three-month annualized rate at a headline, right now, 1.6%. That's down from above 10% in the first half of last year. The core rate, a little stickier, 3.1%. Q4 annualized pace. We saw core good prices, that's excluding food and energy, fall for the quarter. We saw core service prices, excluding shelter, which is a key measure for the Fed, down 1% at an annualized pace in Q4. So lower inflation, lower U.S. interest rates, and this has been a big drag on the U.S. dollar. Second big thing, I think maybe a part of the optimism, especially in some of the industrial commodities, the market is looking past the COVID surge in China. Despite the lack of transparency, you've seen a lot of the commodities that China demands, that China is the world's biggest buyer of, like oil, iron ore, steel rebar, copper. These commodities have risen sharply as the market looks past the COVID surge, and foreign investors have been big buyers of Chinese equities. Maybe the biggest buyers this week in, say, since the end of October or so. So we've got, as far as the big key drivers, CPI, China, and the third thing, which I'd say also may be helping underpin the optimism, is the idea that the Bank of Japan, the last of the central banks with negative interest rates, could raise rates as early as next week. The Bank of Japan is trying to half, its 10-year yield at 50 basis points now. This is since sort of a month ago, late December. They spent $75 billion in the past 2 days alone, that's Thursday and Friday, trying to cap the yields in Japan. And so this kind of optimism that even the last of the negative yielding central banks are going to have to capitulate. I think that's all helped reinforce an optimism that we've seen some stronger than expected European data, both from the UK, Germany, Italy, and optimism looking past the surge in China. I think all is fueling this idea that maybe the idea of a hard landing receded a little bit, and more people are talking about a soft landing in the U.S. and in Europe.
Boy, Mark, are they ever. We've heard a lot of comments over the last couple of weeks about, hey, maybe they can, quote-unquote, thread the needle and we'll have a soft landing in the economy. And all it seems like all we heard about last year was the coming recession, the developing recession, the contracting economy. And then when you look at other data, though, when you look at manufacturing, it's been rough for 10 months. When you look at housing, it's had 6 to 8 months of brutal conditions. When you look at the jobs market, people made a big fanfare about it being in the Goldilocks zone 2 weeks ago. But when you think about what was actually happening, it was a lot of people that had one job that had a second job or lost a job and got two part-time jobs. It really wasn't as rosy as it was presented. And when you look at the hiring in most companies, it's frozen or they're firing people and there's big layoffs. So are we going to have a soft landing or are we going to have a recession? How are you seeing the economic situation set up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm still thinking that it's hard for me to see how we get by without a contracting economy. Of course, what makes it particularly difficult is not just in the U.S., but Europe, Japan, Canada, all are reporting fairly robust labor market indicators, whether it's workforce participation, jobs creation, unemployment is still at relatively low cyclical levels for most of the major countries. And so I think this is helping to like add to the confusion. People are seeing these numbers, realizing how important consumption is, and thinking that maybe we could skirt a harder economic downturn. But I'm looking at two big things. One, from the manufacturing side, industrial side, I'm looking at orders. And orders are not keeping pace with the filling of backlogs. But this means the pipeline is getting thinner. And secondly, just, you know, involved in the capital markets and the yield curve inversions, no matter which ones you want to look at in the U.S., don't just happen with, I mean, the track record of these being able to predict a recession, even with long lag periods, are so great, I'm hesitant to fade them. So I'm still a bit cautionary, which means to me that this enthusiasm we've begun the year with, for me, one of the examples of the enthusiasm that I mentioned to you was that already this year, the Mexican stock market has risen more this year than it fell last year. And we've seen like in some of the risk assets, like in Europe, the 10-year Italian bond yield off 70 basis points this year already. So I think the market might be getting ahead of itself, but it's hard to fight this strong momentum, especially I think in the dollar, where even when you have a pullback like we saw with the jobs data, you saw with the CPI data, small pullbacks in the foreign currency are being snapped up still. And perhaps the greatest sense, I think, of this optimism, especially in Europe, is that the euro is trading above its 200-day moving average against the Swiss franc for the first time in a couple of years. And this typically is only done when the market feels sort of a low ebb of anxiety about the outlook.
Mark, it seems like everybody, too, carrying this over to the Fed is expecting, banking on a 25 basis point hike. The Fed has said that they're going to be slowing down. The dot plot does show that they do expect to get about 50 basis points from here. But again, markets are doing well, led by some of the worst performing sectors last year, like tech, like Bitcoin. Do you think that 25 basis point hike is going to happen, and do you think that if it does, it even has an impact on the markets?
So I kind of think of it as an odds. And the market says right now there's practically no chance the Fed does 50 basis points. And I kind of think that the odds are maybe even as high as 50-50. Here's three reasons why. One, the Atlanta Fed's GDP tracker is looking at Q4 growth above 4%. Above 4%, this is twice the pace the Fed says is non-inflationary. So while inflation has eased in the U.S., the question is how fast they converge with the target. And with such strong growth, the Fed cannot be confident that it will be converging in a timely fashion. And the reason it needs to be timely is because the Fed is concerned that the longer inflation stays above target, the more it gets embedded into expectations, businesses and households, employees. Secondly, we know from the FOMC minutes, the Fed warned, cautioned against a premature easing of financial conditions. And that's exactly what's happened in the last 2 weeks. Rising stocks, falling yields, and a weaker dollar. Thirdly, I'd say that the market is still pricing in a Fed cut in Q4. I see the spread between the September and December Fed funds futures 30 basis points. That is, the December yield is 30 basis points below the September yield. That seems to be only possible if you think about a rate cut. And so a 50 basis point, so on one hand, people say the Fed will do 225 basis point hikes. I think that diminishes or minimizes too much the odds. The Fed does 50, and then that gives them greater flexibility and optionality. So I'd say that, again, the market's pricing in practically no chance of 50 basis points, and I think that the odds are somewhat greater.
We'll wrap up the show here. You have thrown out some slightly different ideas here than what I'm sure a lot of people have been reading, even that what we have been hearing from some of our other guests. It sounds like we're just going to have to wait a few more weeks for that Fed meeting to see what the Fed does, if they surprise the market with a higher rate hike, and if that does put a cap on these moves up in a lot of sectors, especially early on this year. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend edition. Please make sure you go back, listen to those daily editorials and those company updates to share your thoughts on what you think of a lot of these companies. Mark, everybody, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.